You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL podcast, featuring the old Zeuser, the new old Blue Eyes, Tugboat, and Daddy Rich.
That's about right. From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. It's draft week, everybody. Dan Hansis and all those other names here, along with Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler. And here we go, Mark. You ready for this?
Maybe.
One general manager. This via Albert Breer. This just to get you pumped up.
Okay.
Because we're days away now from
The
2023 NFL draft. If you have 15 first-round grades, then the class sucks, said the GM. And I got less than 15 this year. What are we even? Why are we even watch it then? This GM has spoken.
I mean, the counter would be that in years past, first-round grades have been put on a slew of underperforming busts.
Yes.
And so maybe you've just devalued certain diamonds in the rough that will be fulfilling what we hope. I doubt that.
I don't get that. First of all, there's like four quarterbacks that are intriguing, like top 10 picks.
This was Rand Carthon, by the way.
And then,
no,
it's
not. I have no idea who said it.
I see this a lot, though, that every year around this time, they're like, well, we only have about 15 to 18 first-round grades. We usually have about 18. I feel like then you're doing it wrong. There has to, by definition, you should be averaging 32 each year.
Right, there's got to be.
You know what I mean?
Know, like, though.
You're saying you're worthy, but there's a bar internally of what, in their mind, makes up a talent that is a first-round talent.
Aren't you comparing them to the body of draftable players over the last 15, 20 years, and they're saying that they're not adding up?
I believe so.
And that's pretty unanimous across the board.
I guess I just think that's a silly way to put it, because – first round, by definition, would be your top 30 players, 32 players. On average, like
that's how they're doing it.
If you're doing it every year, then you would have 32 of those guys on average. If you went over like a 10-year period, your average would be around 32. And they're saying we usually have about 17.
Well, then,
what's going on?
I don't know if you're trying to pump up the draft, but I would say in general, like across the board, this is viewed as one of the weaker draft class that we've ever seen since we've been here.
But
really?
I will say this. At least it is a quarterback draft, which makes it a more interesting and alluring
not an Eric Fisher scenario
come Thursday night. So we don't know. And that's kind of your point too, Greg. It's like the idea that anyone actually knows like who is what right now.
We also heard the greatest quarterback class since Marino included Zach Wilson and Trey Lance going 2-3.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. Shut up.
My thing is, like, if there's only 15 or 20 or whatever first rounders, it makes the back half of the first round that much more interesting because it's so unpredictable, because some teams will have these guys, some teams will have those guys. Like, we have no idea how this draft's going to play
out. That's how you pitch it.
It does have a lot of intriguing second and third round receivers and running backs, which is where I at least like to pay attention.
A tall man in a suit just came into the studio behind the glass and patted Justin on the head and then stuck a 20 in his front pocket and left without saying a word. Who was it? We don't know. Speaking of Justin.
Thank you. Well, I'm a company person.
I walked into the studio to see the two mock draftsmen chopping it up, Sessler and Graver. Graver speaking in almost a little bit of a worried tone about how to handle the big mock draft off on Wednesday ahead of the real draft. Do you like that, Mark, seeing Justin seeming to be in his head a little bit this close to the mock draft?
Oh, I love the passions. Let's start right there.
Yeah.
Like with the positives. Whenever you talk about the positive traits, he's plugged in. He's already worked on his quite a bit. I got a text on the weekend about it from him, which I knew that he was toiling away. I have yet to begin mine.
That's a party foul with Mark.
Well,
you don't want to do that.
I just don't want to lose the conceit of the exercise. It's not that you sit – if you go spend 4,000 hours doing your mock draft, then it's like – the point is you're just like everyone else. If you come up with it in about 35 minutes
– yeah.
Which is what I typically do when
right.
I throw in a lot of spicy trades and stuff. That's what the point of the exercise is. It's like if we're going draft guru road, that's cool. Mm. But then it's me versus another draft guru. I'm already dealing with 32.
Here's the thing,
to 50
though, Mark,
draft gurus.
What if I told you the amount of hours that Justin puts into this has absolutely no impact on how accurate he is?
That's exactly
that would be
what
my
but
guess.
That's exactly what the exercise is here to tell us.
Right. Right. It's an A-B test, if you will.
Now, he could offer good analysis on the show. He'll feel better and more excited about the 2023 season.
No doubt about that.
He'll know a lot, but I don't think he'll do any better.
Let's keep it real here. I think Justin, who's a young man who's striving for career gains, sees this as an opportunity.
Well, he
and
crushed,
a stepping stone.
He also crushed me last year. So I think
right.
he's like, you can start to see... Like we get a version of Justin, which is
right.
he's a very wonderful person. There's an element of compliance in his role
sure.
and cooperation. But then you see this other side of Justin. He's like, I will destroy Sessler two times in a row. It's like, but I'm not trying to.
Mm.
Where I'm coming from is like,
yeah.
I'm trying to throw some chaos into the industry. That if you spend 35
right.
minutes, you probably come as close as 95% of the people that spend 6 months on it.
It's weird because Jessica, when we were in London, used the same words to describe Justin. There's an element of compliance to him. So
that's why those FaceTime calls are so lengthy.
Sorry, we keep talking about Justin. He's just sitting right there. You can jump in.
And one more thing about you.
Yeah.
And how he does in this mock draft, if he does go back to back,
yeah.
like champion, if you will, it will accelerate his path to the next step. We usually have a producer about 2 to 3 years
yeah.
before they just say, I'm doing my own thing. If he nails this, I think he's gone in 6 months. I think that's what we're looking at.
I think the writing's on the wall.
Yeah. So part of me is hoping you fail, Justin, because I enjoy having you
Same.
As our producer. But I also understand if you hit 20 out of 32, 31,
that's impossible.
Inevitable fireball at that
he
point,
gone.
Out of the building.
I'm hoping to get 10. Like that 10 will be a huge win for me.
He really cares, though. I do like that because there was a sort of a tension in his voice when we were discussing this.
And I'll say this, for all the, you know, the surface of it all, Mark's a competitive guy. I think Mark wants to win, too.
I don't want to lose, but what I want to prove, again, is that I can do it in about 27, 30 minutes tops and match the results of people working on it for 7 or 8 months. In general, in humanity, that's great for industry if you can find a way to get something done.
Right. That speaks to like going to a 3-day work week or what.
That's all I'm trying to get to.
All right. We're trying to get to the show, so let's get into it now. Today is Monday. We have... a lot of news to get through and some rumors as well, because things obviously are heating up. And then also, we love it. It's a tradition around here. Sandwich props, where we make our predictions for the draft and try to get people to go against us on said predictions. And then someone comes out looking great on draft night sometimes. Sometimes it's a total bust. We all get everything wrong. It's kind of it's got some mock draftiness to it as well. So sandwich props, Greggy, coming up later.
It's a tried and true tradition. Our records in that are outrageous if you go to gogetmylunch.org.
It's outrageous.
Some more than others, yeah.
Ryan Frontier, is it? Ryan?
That's so far away from it.
What is it?
I don't know.
What do you mean? You're so far away from it, you don't know
that,
it.
I don't think it's Ryan or Frontier. That much I know. Chad Fortier?
Fortier,
I believe.
Yeah, was it Ryan Fortier?
I'm focused on the last name, which I believe was Fortier.
This is when the producer would be helpful to jump in and save us, or me.
When I say outrageous, though, I just mean the total amount. And if you just go back in there and you can find some gems, like I saw Dan. At one point, we all were guessing where Kirk Cousins would go when he was leaving Washington. You had the Jets that year. And just the records. I mean, Mark, for instance, is 180 and 205. And that's the problem with Mark's situation in this. You need to go undefeated for like a year straight to get back to 500.
I think hopeless. I come at the contest a little bit differently, though.
I think there's a through line here with your drafting. You're not looking for big time win loss victories. You just want to hit that big win.
I'm not like a singles doubles hitter. I just like at once in a while crack a home run with a lot of strikeouts.
You're more like a Steve Balboni type.
One of my least favorite athlete names of all time. So thank you.
All right, let's get to the news.
Yeah, I think money is nice. Championships are better.
Hey-o, and that was Jalen Hurts in his press conference with the Eagles after signing that massive extension. And obviously, Greg, a shot across the bow of the entire Lamarmy there.
I don't view it that way, but I like that he's using some of that money on the hair, because you could tell he knew it was contract extension press conference.
Don't deflect.
I'm not. Well, I thought it was a joke that I wasn't supposed to take seriously.
Oh, so, I'm deadly serious. Okay. He's saying, in the regards to, hey, you didn't end up getting the most guaranteed money ever. It's a nice contract, but, you know. And he was clearly stating, hey, I'm thinking for the team.
I think he's saying truth, which is that money's a nice championship, but some things you can't buy.
You know, when he got the contract came
always
through,
deflecting over at the Lamar.
I don't think there was any merit to what you say. I don't think it had anything to do with Lamar. I don't.
Okay, I wasn't the only one who thought that, but okay.
I don't think he's taking a shot at Lamar.
No,
Jackson.
I think that's preposterous.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
They called him. He was just lifting weights. They said, you know, the contracts come through. You're extremely rich. And he said, great, and just went back to lift more weights.
That's what you want from your franchise quarterback. Good for him. Not good for several members and now former members of the Detroit Lions. This came through late last week. The NFL suspended 5 players, including 4 Lions, for violating gambling policy. Ian Rappaport had reported initially the league suspended first-round pick last year, Jameson Williams, for 6 games. Quintez Cephas, Stanley Berryhill, and safety C.J. Moore, as well as Commanders defensive end Shaka Tony. Williams and Berryhill got 6 games. Cephas, Moore, and Tony all got suspended indefinitely and can apply for reinstatement after the 2023 seasons. This then led to the release of Cephas and Moore from the Lions. There were other Detroit officials connected to this. And this is just about, Greggy, the stupidest thing I've heard in a long time in the league. When you read about the details of the story, knowing full well what happened with Calvin Ridley, knowing that the NFL, now that we're in bed as a league with gambling, are on the patrol in a very profound way, to be this reckless. I feel bad for the guys because it costs them their living in some cases, but it's hard to wrap your head around it.
I think this was bound to happen, and maybe it'll happen again a handful of times right as this gambling policy and this new world we're living in happen, until enough players sort of realize that it's just, you're going to get suspended. And some of the details that Jameson Williams, for instance, who was suspended 6 games for betting on college football, but he did it at the team facility instead of at home where it would have been fine, is very likely something not every NFL player is aware of, or even most NFL players are aware of. And you would hope after this, they will be more aware of that and we can keep great players on the field. Because, yeah, for a guy like C.J. Moore, for instance, who's like a core special teamer and his whole life was leading to this contract he just got, which was 2 years, $4.5 million with a $1.4 million signing bonus because the Patriots were interested in him. He's like a 27-year-old special teamer guy. Like, it just crushed his career. I'm sure he'll get a job in a year, but he is losing an incredible amount of money.
Well, I mean, crushed his career because of a decision he made, though. I mean, the one thing we are linked with the players is that in the offseason every year, you go through a pretty in-depth hammer-dropping course about what you can and cannot do when it comes to this. And I understand that if you're a player, you're new to the NFL, some of this stuff will go in one ear and out the other. I think the other problem is that there are 18, 19, 17, 10-year-old people out there just gambling on their phones. And it's like, it's part of maybe what you do. And then you come into the NFL, and if you're thinking, I can gamble on college football, maybe the breakdown of it happening at the facility is lost on you. I could see that. I think the idea that anyone was gambling on NFL games, though, it's like the real example, I think, it's not going to be the courses. It's like Calvin Ridley lost a year of his career and wound up on a whole different team because of this. If that doesn't sink in, it's like, what will sink in until like five or six more of these guys?
Yeah, I think a handful of, I saw a lot of people saying, they're like, how could this happen when it happened to Calvin Ridley? I was like, you think everyone in the NFL is like super aware of what happened?
I don't.
No, it's going to happen a handful of times. And multiple Lions staffers were fired for this in a month previous. So who knows exactly what was going on here? Was it like somehow all together, like a pool or whatever for the guys who got fired or lost the year? We don't know those details.
Yeah. And then Jameson Williams said, I saw some takes out there like the NFL needs to, you know, clean it up. And Jameson Williams getting caught up in this, gambling on non-NFL, doing it from the facility. Of course, the league is not going to want that. They don't want guys in the locker room talking about where they're laying the wagers down. It doesn't matter if it's NFL or not. And there's just got to be some common sense. If you're going to do that, know the rules or this happens.
Right. There's a lot of, and I understand the hypocrisy on the NFL's level of like, oh, look, like all these shows are presented by FanDuel and DraftKings and they're out here doing this. So like, okay, what is your other option here? You allow players to gamble on football? Like,
right.
You're just making an argument because literally no one thinks that that is a good idea. The whole team facility, college football thing, I get that that seems a little too particular, but it is what it is. And the whole, like, there's no one is arguing that they should be allowed to bet on the NFL. It would be insane.
And not for nothing. Jameson Williams is a high-level prospect, first-round pick, missed a good chunk of last year with the knee injury that he suffered in college. Had one catch last year, a long touchdown, a lot of excitement about him entering this year, healthy and ready to roll. And this is just a huge deflating aspect of the story as well.
I think it's like a top five breakout player if you were available.
It's a tough one.
He's missed so much of his career already. This is how a first-round pick 2 years in starts to not look so good. But that said, I always feel like these suspensions, like from week seven on, is an eternity. These seasons are so long that it's like they can get through this.
Right. Marvin Jones, they signed recently. Maybe they knew this was coming as a third receiver. Josh Reynolds, Amon-Ra, St. Brown. But I do think they'll draft a receiver and or a tight end. They could use one.
Here's a neat little segue. Kentucky quarterback Will Levis is now the favorite to be the number two overall pick in the 2023 NFL draft. Multiple sports books now have Levis as that favorite to be selected after Bryce Young, who's widely expected, obviously, to go to the Panthers. Greg, Mark, this comes, you know, amid continued speculation that C.J. Stroud, once upon a time believed to be either number one or number two, is not as well loved on draft boards for teams, opening the door for some zaniness. And Levis, who has been profiled as a big, strong, high upside, but coming off a not so sterling final year of college and injury issues, him slotting at number two, that would be, it seems like a gamble, but also maybe somebody's in love with him.
And I think some teams view him as a safer pick than Anthony Richardson, who maybe has a freakier upside if he becomes what you think. To me, Will Levis had a great 2021, and I think it went with a lot of expectations last season, and it went down a little bit, and I think that it affected how he was seen by others. To go number two, though, all we're hearing is that the Texans are this team sitting out there with a tangible disinterest of picking a quarterback potentially at number two.
Right. He's the favorite by a decent amount. He's like -150. So basically, he's the favorite by a decent amount over the entire field combined. Which is shocking, and I do put these odds as more newsworthy than basically any other odds that happen over the course of the season, because very often these odds are an indicator of what's going to happen, and like they change a lot. We saw that last year with the draft; the odds flipped, and they were pretty accurate right before the draft. Doesn't mean this is going to happen. I don't think Vegas knows anything more than, for instance, the three of us know, but I think they're basing it on all the reporting that's out there.
Certainly not more than the three of us, Greg.
I just mean, like, people have this idea that they have these inside tells, like that they have inside information. I don't buy that. It's basically based on public reporting. But I think that the public reporting is pointing this way. And I don't think it's necessarily the Texans who would take him at two. I think it could be a team like the Patriots. It could be a lot of teams. It could be the Titans. Who knows?
Got the Patriots in there.
I don't like it, but that's, you know, there's a lot of Levis Patriots talk. Mark has Patriots a dark horse to trade up as a
Greg and I just did the same.
Just highlighted.
Just high five over this. What a
high
moment.
High five. You know, whenever you can get Greg and I on the same page, it's a good thing.
It is. It gives me goosebumps, I have to say. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. He is out there reporting that the Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill could be parting ways, despite reports going in both directions throughout the offseasons. Teams, according to Fowler, believe that Tannehill is available via trade.
Not a surprise, and I think it's been the case the whole offseason, that I've sort of assumed Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill are available in a trade if the right price came, and there's been no indications that anyone's shown much interest. So teams believe he's available. Whether that means a team goes big on Tannehill, I don't know. But I think he could be available, especially if they get a quarterback in the first round.
I mean, this is one of those scenarios where, like, let's see what happens in the draft. And if a team gets left out in the cold, Ryan Tannehill suddenly makes a lot of sense for someone. It doesn't surprise me at all, because you're also hearing that Tennessee is one of these clubs that is, like, looking at maybe jumping way up in the draft to get quarterback of tomorrow. So that would make Tannehill available.
What do you think, Graver? Because it's funny, when the more I watch Levis, and I tried to, like him more and more I watched, and I think he's a good prospect. He makes sense as like a first round pick. He reminded me of Ryan Tannehill, kind of like a 2023 version, where he's definitely more athletic. He weirdly isn't talked about enough as like he could be your wildcat quarterback. I mean, that's literally what he was in college at first, so he's incredibly athletic, and he kind of reminds me of Tannehill as a player.
I agree with that, and I tweeted out last week or maybe a couple of weeks ago that like my most controversial draft take was I would be okay if the Titans took Will Levis.
Sure.
And I definitely think Ryan Tannehill is like on the trade block if the right team came calling. They never did anything to restructure his salary this year, nothing to like tack on extra years or adjust his cap hit in any kind of lower way that might make it harder to trade him but more manageable for this year. So I think him, Henry, like Kevin Byard, all these guys are up for grabs if the right team.
I just don't know who that team is.
I just feel like the Atlanta Falcons makes sense.
Hey, I have something cooking for Wednesday with that, Mark. So
okay.
Keep that in mind.
In other news,
I will.
What? Graver,
I mean, we've been talking Tannehill to the Falcons for 3 months.
How many versions of your mock draft have you gone through so far?
Six.
Wow. This is an absurd exercise, because it's like, all right.
He's in it to win it.
Tom Six.
What is Tom Brady up to these days? He's doing things like speaking at the eMERGE Americas at the Miami Beach Convention Center, whatever the hell that is.
I want to know how much he was paid for that 45 minutes.
Well,
how much do you think?
I think he lives in Florida, right?
Well, sure.
So it's an easy trip. I think you're probably not getting Brady for less than half a mil, right?
That's a lot of money for an hour. I don't know.
But, I'd
I
mean, say,
but that would that,
yeah,
that would
but you
be,
get the glad handing, the photo ops.
$270,000.
$270? Between 270 and 5?
I have no feel. I feel
well,
like
you think it's like 10 G's or something?
I thought it was like
100
felt like a lot for an hour, but you might be right. You might be right. I have no idea.
Anyway, so he was there, and someone asked him. I don't know if there's a reporter. I don't know what's going on at eMERGE Americas.
It was like
I don't know what eMERGE is.
It was a Q&A scenario.
It was like him and a host talking about who knows what, and the host asked him.
As for what else is going on, you're right.
Justin,
no one knows.
Please look up what eMERGE Americas is. Anyway, here's the question. Is there any chance you're coming out of retirement and playing for the Finns? All right, here's the response from Tom Brady via B. Kaminsky on Twitter.
Now that I'm not affiliated with any team anymore, and even though I have strong ties with a couple teams, I do have some friends on the Dolphins that I really like. So I wouldn't say I necessarily root for them all the time, but I root for my friends to do well, and several of them play for Miami. So
awesome.
Yeah.
That was a bizarre answer.
It was a very direct question, too. He was like, would you come out of retirement to play for the Dolphins?
And his response was, I have friends on the Dolphins.
Well, one of the friends he doesn't have is the first rounder they would have picked if they weren't docked their first rounder for talking with Tom Brady.
You know who else isn't a friend? Probably Tua, who's like, bro, shut up. Do you think I'm trying? I have enough on my plate. I'm Tua.
Yeah.
You know what I'm dealing with? I'm Tua. And I know about the yacht trip and the dock draft picks and my injury issues. And now you're going to come out and basically leave the door open. I'm not putting too much into it, but it is interesting he didn't say, no, I'm done. I'm retired. I'm rooting for the Dolphins.
I'm putting a little into it because the question was as simple as could be. Is there any chance you're coming out of retirement to play for the Fins? And you couldn't answer that even in the least. I also want to know, who are his friends? Who are his friends on the team? Is he friends with Austin Jackson, the right tackle coming off of an injury?
He's not.
How about Kader Cahoo, like the slot cornerback? I am looking up and down this roster.
Friends with?
Jerome Baker.
He's
is he
friends
buddies?
With Braxton Berrios back from their days in New England. You could see them hanging out.
Okay, you got
Steven
one.
Steven Ross.
That's good. I forgot Braxton.
Stevie Ross.
I forgot.
He's friends with the owner of the team.
I forgot Braxton Berrios was on the team.
But he said multiple friends, so we're going to get to the bottom
of
this.
I don't really see – it's not like an older roster.
Tyreek Hill, you know, they've shared a lot of big stages together. Pro Bowl, you know, maybe – I don't know. It's weird. Yes, Justin.
Emerge Americas is the premier technology conference transforming Miami into a global tech hub. And if you go to their website, there are two big buttons on the main page. One of them is register – and the other one is Meet Tom Brady.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think he got paid very well.
Right. 400
by a tech hub.
400, I'm going to say.
I don't think you're wrong. I might
in
revise
cash,
my 270.
Stuffed in his back pocket.
Yeah, some of it it's not on the books.
All right, in other news. So I guess keep an eye on the Tom Brady situation. I choose not to, but I understand why we must.
Well, if something happened to Tua, I now feel like I don't – that at least in Tom Brady's mind, it's – it's an open question.
I mean, we're a week out from Tua acknowledging that he put deep contemplation into retiring.
Sure.
I don't think that helps Tua. When Tua goes and says that, he's not helping his own case.
But it does continue to build. It does. The non-answer does continue to build this idea that Brady is obviously keeping his options open this year. And because I think I floated the Raiders last year as like he's their backup quarterback right now.
Yeah.
When Jimmy G, if he gets hurt and they don't draft a QB. Like, I think he's very open, and maybe he's playing it smart. Like, I don't know how I'm going to feel in October. Like, I might be dying. And then somebody I know that's a quote-unquote friend calls me up. So he doesn't want to give that answer one way or the other. Because if he says yes, I'm open to it. It's a circus.
Yeah.
If he says no, he's going to feel like he's going back on his word or make it seem like he's waffling. So he's trying to, like, cut it down the middle. It's, you know.
There's no way it's
a
hard.
We're not done with Tom Brady yet?
No, it's. And I think also when your golf rival, Aaron Rodgers, is able to take his situation and elongate it, do what he's done with it, to turn it into a, like, months-long drama for the third year in a row. It's like, Brady's like, I can do that too.
Right, he's out on the golf course. He's like, oh, who's this? Oh, yeah, it's Braxton and Andrew Van Ginkle, your best bros.
AVG.
You want to come in?
What up, AVG?
Come in and play?
All right, let's pause the news right here. Get a break. And come right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm not guarding like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. The new coach of the Cardinals is our friend and rising ATN star, Jonathan Gannon. There was a question and answer session connected with the uniform reveal of the Cardinals. Is that correct?
Yes, they put out new uniforms last week.
Great, perfect timing. He discussed at times a difficult last season in Philly, despite the fact that the Eagles had this big year on both sides of the ball and nearly won the Super Bowl. Gannon was criticized at times for the Eagles and the scheme, and he had this to say when discussing some of the issues he had, including not talking to the media immediately after their defense collapsed in Super Bowl 57.
I'm very comfortable talking to media. Philly is a very hard media market. We were 9-0, and I did my presser, and they say, "Coach, we want you fired." And I said, "We're the number one defense in the NFL right now in every statistical category. Why do you want me fired? You don't blitz enough." I said, "Well, we lead the league in sacks by 30 plus sacks. So if you want to come call the defense, and you can have at it." But it's cool.
He went on too, and why do you want me fired? You don't blitz enough. This never happened. No one ever called for him to be fired. Certainly, no one ever did at a.
Well, people checked that. First of all, they weren't 9-0 at any point. People checked like the transcripts in that time and didn't find any type of back and forth with Gannon in the media about this. Obviously, he's a little in his feelings about some criticism he was getting.
The year before though, the players were very critical of the defense.
Right.
There was criticism around him, but that interaction, like, it was interesting to see, like, Philly beat writers come out of the woodwork, as they should, and say this did not occur, to the way he described it.
Well, I just think it's a major red flag of how he's going to handle this next year. Because in his head, this is what happened a year ago, and it never happened. Plus, if you're that, like, loose with how you're presenting things to the media, you're going to get in trouble. Like, he continued, like, it went on a little bit. Like, why do you want me fired? And they said, you don't blitz enough. And he's just like,
yeah.
I admit that it was probably all in his head of how that all happened. But he also famously did not, as you said, answer any questions after the Super Bowl. Just like, not a great sign either.
I think you just, what you said is very right in that, especially at this high profile level job, he's going to learn quickly. He can't shoot from the lip without everything coming out of his mouth being something that is actually true, because people will look it up. Yeah. And you'll kind of look – it makes him look a little weak and like he's
– he looks defensive.
Yeah, defensive.
I cannot point to a team right now that needs an offseason with maybe some tempered, lower, non-drama. You don't need the coach creating hot soup every week with problems.
I want to make Boiling a promise soup. To yeah. the Cardinals. We're gonna say something positive for their fans on draft night. At least I'm going to try. It's been tough.
What if they, like, missed their pick or something? This is the 20-year anniversary, by the way, of the Vikings falling actually two spots in the draft. Shout-out to the teams right behind them. It was the Ravens and I believe maybe the Chiefs who turned in their cards, sensing drama and miscalculation on the Minnesota side of things. Mm. So they dropped from 7 to 9 and still got a great player, it should be stated. The guy they wanted all along.
Kevin Williams. The Williams
in their
wall.
In their ring of honor. And there's a really good piece on ESPN that they dropped this morning breaking down all the drama behind that. And a lot of it went back to an owner who was losing money with the Metrodome and wanted them to trade back even if it was a bad value so they would pay their first-round pick less money. and have less of it in the old rookie pay scale, which was massive.
Red McCombs.
Pretty dark stuff, Red McCombs, who sold the team shortly thereafter.
That was so long ago.
Don't hook him horns. What are you hooking horns for over there?
That's the name of our business school, the Red McCombs School of Business.
Absurd. That was so long ago.
Rest in peace.
I was watching that in a, like, not on television, but for some reason in, like, a college library. I wasn't in college, but they showed the picks, you know, they come up on computer without sound one by one, and then suddenly the Vikings vanish off the screen. I was like, what on earth occurred here?
Shout out from the Kicker Club to Tyler Bass, who's got bottle service. He got a 4-year extension from the Bills. He's one of the steadiest guys in the league. And finally, before we get to some rumors, this is news. Matt Patricia, he's now joining the Eagles' defensive coaching staff, which makes sense, A. B, I didn't realize, I guess I kind of knew, but obviously it didn't work out with him being a major figure in New England's offense, to say the least. But I was surprised that, you know, they just kind of kicked him to the curb, or did he leave by his own choice? Or like, how did the Belichick conversation go with Patricia after that year in which Patricia got put in a bad spot? Did he get the choice to stay, or was Bill like, hey, you weren't good at this, you got to go?
It seemed like a good time for a breakup. I mean, we've spent a lot of time as humans finding out what Matt Patricia can't do, so I hope he can do this.
Man, Belichick wouldn't answer the Patricia questions. My feel of it, and I think those two are very close, because he did confirm Joe Judge was going to be back, but wouldn't say about Patricia. My feel of it was like Bill Belichick was working as hard as possible to get Matt Patricia a job elsewhere, but he was not coming back to the Patriots. And if I really had to guess, like, that might not have been Bill Belichick's decision either. It's a lot of Robert Kraft.
Kraft is a guy, he knows when he says things, it's not always direct. He's a successful businessman. He might have other thoughts, but he went out of his way to absolve Matt Patricia in those comments and went after Belichick directly about that. But anyway, it's good for Patricia, who obviously didn't do well as a head coach in Detroit, and it was a disaster in New England, but he's done things in his career. Belichick, who we respect more than anyone, thinks very highly of him. So, Mark, maybe ease up on the accelerator on Patricia.
You're right. I will amend which I came in on that. We saw
you put him 10 feet underground there.
We saw Belichick and Patricia at the owners' meeting hanging out for hours together with their wives. I guess if Belichick is Linda Holiday a wife, I believe she's still a girlfriend. I don't know.
Longtime GF.
Yeah.
At this time, it's got to be common law. I don't know what it is in Massachusetts.
Yeah. It's entering that.
Look into that, please, Graver.
That Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell territory where it's like, hey, don't need it.
Don't need the ring. Go down that road if you don't want it.
Three-time Super Bowl champion, Matt Patricia.
Put
never
him again.
Forget. Never forget.
All right. Let's share some rumors that we've seen out there. Okay. I will throw this one out there via Peter King via Bleacher Report on C.J. Stroud. It's no lock he goes in the top 7 of the 2023 NFL draft. Top 7!
That S2 score that has gone out about him, you know, and we'd heard about that a little bit before it became news, seems to have impacted his draft stock to some degree, because on tape, watching him throw, I think he's like the most natural thrower, and it's like intoxicating to watch him. But there's something going on with him and not being a fit for, you know, not number one, not number two necessarily. And like, if the Raiders don't take him at 7 where they're sitting, that would be remarkable.
Yeah. Like, I am not totally shocked that a lot of teams have the quarterbacks in different orders. I think there's some teams that, certainly some media folks, and I can see why, have Richardson 1 or 2. There's certainly a lot of teams by the reporting out there that has Levis 2. And then by, you know, process of elimination, that means on some boards, at least Stroud is 4. So he's probably anywhere from 1 to 4. But I don't buy it, because I think the Colts at 4 would make a lot of sense. And then Seahawks, Lions, Raiders, to me, are all potential quarterback spots.
I mean, or someone trades up. I'm with you. I'd be surprised
the Colts,
if he fell.
To me, he seems like the guy that the Colts end up building around. Especially if Levis goes before him, that'd be crazy too.
I'll throw another thing out. Peter Schrager, of course, NFL Network's own from Good Morning Football, had a Here's What I Heard breakdown on the program this morning. He heard Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs will go in the first round, so 2 running backs in the first round. Jalen Carter won't fall out of the top 6. Sam Laporta could go before Darnell Washington. Arizona is, quote, open for business at pick 3. And he said, Houston is not scared to pass on a QB. Some of this stuff we're going to get into in a little bit. But just throwing that out there.
I mean, Carter could be, if the off-field stuff, if that were not in existence, a potential top number one pick, and you're talking about Seattle at 5 and Detroit at 6, I know Seattle number one is like an absolute home run target for Jalen Carter.
Right. Him and Richards. That pick is maybe the most fascinating in the draft. You mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs, who we haven't really touched on too much, but really dynamic pass-catching running back. Almost seems like maybe a more dynamic, bigger version of Travis Etienne, who did go in the first round. And I think one of the reasons why this draft isn't getting a lot of love is because maybe the best position, and certainly close to the top, is running back. There's like 7 or 8 running backs that I think, depending on what you want, whether it's Zach Charbonnet or Tajay Spears, Kenny Mack, like Devin Achane, like those are round 2-3 guys, but like a lot of dynamic running backs. I mean, kind of need it. If you look over the last few years, there haven't been a lot of good running backs entering the league. And even at the top, Jahmyr Gibbs, I think people just love his skill set that he could go.
But that nugget with. Should be that Jahmyr Gibbs might go in the first round. Not
right.
It would be literally stunning to the mind if Bijan Robinson did
the
not
The question
go.
With Bijan Robinson is, I think, how high does he go in the first round?
I think higher than
in
people
the front
think.
Half or the back half?
Front.
Do you have a prop on that?
I mean,
some
of this stuff absolutely cuts into that.
Because I was going to ask a follow-up question, but let's stick a pin in it. Anybody else have a rumor to share before we move on?
Justin, you had a lot of rumors out there. Any of your favorites you want to throw out?
Sure, yes. There is a bunch. I think Raiders, like in addition to, this is like adding on to the Stroud falling out of the top 7, was that the Raiders are quote-unquote out on quarterbacks after they failed to acquire the number one pick. And they're now targeting a corner at 7. That was from Todd McShay.
That feeds into my Tom Brady is their backup plan.
Yeah, I agree. And like McDaniels had a lot of interesting comments at the owners' meetings about like how he really like thought that it was important to go get a quarterback, and they're like looking forward to drafting a quarterback, and like weird hints like that. But now it feels like maybe they will either wait till day 2 or not draft one at all.
They are in the perfect spot to take the top cornerback on the board, whoever they believe that to be, whether it be Witherspoon or Gonzalez.
Can you imagine Tom Brady and Jimmy G back in a quarterback room together? The one thing I thought with the Raiders, the more you learn about the quarterbacks, is that Bryce Young nailed that S2 test, and they've talked about him. He was excellent with Bill O'Brien at Alabama. You talk about him as like a Tom Brady-level processor, and that feels like something that Josh McDaniels doesn't want to settle on with a player that's not offering the same thing. It's like he seems reluctant to go get the guy that he can truly groom as his rookie quarterback.
And maybe it would take some of the edge off it in this alternate reality. I think Tom Brady's only there if like Jimmy G is in a lower leg cast again. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
One of those situations where it's not
is
like
it a great situation for Tom Brady in terms of that roster? It's like if I'm Tom Brady, I want to go somewhere like the Dolphins where it's like you're a playoff roster from day one.
Thinking about that the Raiders were trying to get up to 1, it just points out how off like the reporting and Vegas, for instance, can be, because at one point Bryce Young was a significant underdog and CJ Stroud was a heavy, heavy favorite for like a week or two in Vegas to be number 1 overall. Since then, we found out, okay, the Panthers are taking Young. The Raiders tried to trade up to 1. And Adam Schefter reported on Monday, I thought this was really interesting, that the Texans were very aggressive trying to get up to 1 from 2. And presumably they were going to take Bryce Young. And that's why they're not in love with taking a quarterback now at 2. And the difference was the picks were similar, but the Bears threw in DJ Moore, and DJ Moore ended the conversation.
The difference also was the result of one of your favorite regular season games of the year, Greg, where the Texans like haphazardly won their season finale with a coach who was canned days later and a quarterback who's now in the rearview mirror. Don't do that. You go get your quarterback.
And I'm just going to say,
stupid
look,
thing.
Hey, Davis Mills helped himself out there. He made 2 or 3 plays in that game.
Did Davis Mills help himself? It's like you set your employer on fire.
He also, the ball that essentially won the game went right through the hands.
I know you were going to say that, but there was a couple plays.
So let's calm down with
there
that.
There was one play before that where he was sprinting right and threw on the run to save the game. And
what
it was
a special time it was.
Incredible.
For Texans play. Fans.
Anything else, Justin, real quick?
Yeah, the last one. This from Mike Florio, Greg, PFT. The Seahawks may be targeting Anthony Richardson at pick number 5, which would like almost everyone is putting Jalen Carter into the Seahawks at 5 or Tyree Wilson or whatever best edge rusher happens to make it to number 5. If they took Anthony Richardson, I think that would throw a lot of mock drafts out of whack. And so I don't know. I'm leaning into this rumor.
Torn up by the thought of Richardson going to Seattle and ruining his life.
I also would love the Titans to draft Anthony Richardson, so that would be sad.
I love Geno, and yet I think they should take Richardson at 5. I'm not, like, it just seems like you're not going to have a chance for a guy that potentially special. I don't think that would happen, but I think it makes some sense. Just because I think he is uniquely that worth it.
Isn't it perfect, though? Because Seattle, you know, by their own design, did a great job of getting into this position by A, believing in Geno, making it work. And now you could say Anthony Richardson may be the guy that could use half a season or a season behind Geno, but I think you'll find out who Geno is if he suddenly is, his heir apparent is drafted.
Well, he'll have
this week.
An over on, he'll have to have a winning record after 7 weeks or else he gets
put some heat
benched.
On Geno.
He's done that before, too.
That he was in New York when Darnold was drafted, and he handled himself well before the.
I mean, yeah, but he wasn't like Geno Smith when Darnold was drafted was persona non grata on that roster.
He was not nearly as good a quarterback, obviously, too. And Albert Breer had one report about who the Chiefs have been calling about moving up. And these are usually right. These are the types of pre-draft reports that I'd like to hear. A guy like Breer on who the Chiefs are calling because other teams are telling him this. Zay Flowers or Jahmyr Gibbs. So they're kind of like looking at some offensive weapons to add.
And the Chiefs went out of their way to have Zay Flowers spend a day working out with Patrick Mahomes last Wednesday. And there's a lot of smoke there, and that would be a very intriguing match.
To me, he's a better version of Kadarius Toney, or a different but more complete version.
And the Jalen Carter Seattle stuff is, you know, sometimes it's like, especially when you get to this process, when you're this close to the draft, it becomes like, yeah, that's who they're going to take. And there's logic to it because this is exactly the type of prospect that Seattle in the past. Oh, there's some character issues. We believe the person. There's more to the person than that. We know how to handle those situations. We want this high-level talent that we think we can help become a pro. That's Jalen Carter in a nutshell. That's what teams are hoping will happen. And Seattle just happens to be in the spot of the draft where he would come off the board. Mm. And yet, it's like sometimes it's like it's so logical that people just kind of like bank it and move on with their draft. And it's like, we don't know what they actually think or what they, especially a quarterback, what they think about the future of that position. They have the 5th pick. This is a huge opportunity for that organization coming off a playoff season to take a lottery QB. It's going to be tough to pass on that.
I am now crossing out one of my go get my lunch ones. I have options, but it just seems too vanilla that I had either the Seahawks taking Richardson or Carter at 5. That it would definitely be one of those two, and that seems too milquetoast. Now I'm just throwing the whole
thing out
because I am with you. I think Seahawks like big physical freaks who test well, and to me Richardson and Carter are that, and they've been productive.
Yeah, right. Let's take a break and do some sandwich props.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Let's see here. Oh, it's a tradition that goes back literally a decade. Go get my sandwich, ass bag. This is when we challenge each other with predictions toward whether it's the Super Bowl or free agency or obviously the draft here. We're going to get one right and get other people to disagree with you because it makes it that much better. If you can hit a prediction, that's the gold standard here. When you hit a prediction and then everyone else says, no, you're wrong, it's a double W.
Yeah, I think you failed when you offer something that everyone's like, yeah, we all think that's going to happen too, and no one takes you up. You kind of failed in this exercise.
And, Greg, you and I have a real back and forth in the standings. As I look, I've recently overtaken you, but it's very close. So I'm 217 and 191 all time.
This is stupid. We should reset. In the interest of Mark, at some point we should just like start over.
But he's
somehow.
Not going to change his way of doing
it. No, but it could start
over.
It's
not in the interest. Nothing you're going
to do. I'm not in first place.
In the interest of Mark, it's an absurd concept.
I'll give you you win the first 10 years, and now we'll start the next 10 years competition.
By the way, it's Nick Fortier.
If anything, I'm digging myself a grave.
Nick Fortier. Yeah, there it is.
Who was your first?
Nick's incredible.
Who was your first guy?
Terry Becker?
Like Ryan Charbonnet?
Ryan Shazier? Nick Fortier, who's been an incredible asset to us through the years, gogetmylunch.org.
Kind of got buried in a big spot in this episode. We're sorry, Nick.
It's getting mentioned six or seven times.
Yeah,
it's not the worst.
We always make sure to bring it up because he's been running that site for so long. There's also Soundboard over there and all sorts of fun ATN history. And yes, Greg, I don't believe that we should reset the standings for whatever reason you were saying because the history is rich, as Colleen Wolf once said.
Right, we wouldn't delete the website. I feel like Mark quietly bombed out. It wasn't quiet the first 2 years we did it, and ever since then he's actually been the same. He's been about the same as all of us.
So early on I used to not take you guys up on stuff a lot, and so I, because we're all so relatively terrible at it, that you just take everything. But I throw some rockets into the distance.
Let's
so
do it
anyway. Even though you interrupted me, Greg, to ask for the reset, here are the standings. I'm at 53.1%. You're at 52.7 at 213 and 191. And Mark, I think you, like, if you could ever get back to 500,
12.6%? Is that what I'm saying?
You're at 46.7, okay. 180 and 205.
Well, I think to Greg's point, to get to 500 at this point, I probably got to nail about 72 in a row. Never happening.
You would have, I think, you 25 in a row. But that's not the way to look at it. You got to start. You got to kind of chip away at this. And by about 2048 or so,
yeah,
you might be knocking on the door.
I mean, how ridiculous is it, though, that we've been doing this for over 10 years? We have the exact number of losses the same, Dan, 191. You have four more. And so this is like a pennant race that is the equivalent of four, like three baseball seasons, and we're still only two games apart.
Like it's a weekend a chase for the ages.
A weekend sweep, and I'm back in first.
Well, that's what's coming up. We got a big weekend coming up here, so let's get into it. Sandwich.
The history is very rich here.
Let's definitely pitch things as three times a baseball season, three times its normal length.
All right, nailed it. Let's see. All right, who wants to start? Somebody else start.
I'll throw out one. Yeah. How about let's go. Tyree Wilson is the first defensive player taken in the 2023 draft. Yeah, I just like to start with like a
nice a palate cleanser or a table setter.
Yeah, just
if you will.
Like something. With Tyree Wilson is a name with I don't think it's come up much.
Texas Tech edge
in our programming. Not as productive over the course of his career, but just feels like the type of big swing that NFL teams like to make over a guy like Will Anderson, who's maybe not quite the ceiling, but has been very productive.
I will take you, but I think that there's a little bit of a fly in the ointment. I'm hearing a lot of reporting around this as well, just rumors. But Will Anderson is from Alabama. D'Amico Ryans is from Alabama. They have talked about Will Anderson as not only like a once-in-a-generation player, but a person and the kind of person that you build a new defense around. So I guess it would just be a little bit upstream for D'Amico Ryans to shun the Crimson Tide with an elite-looking player for the other guy. But you never know.
Same front office took Derek Stingley over Sauce Gardner last year. Not saying like you got to write the book on Stingley. That's unfair to him. But
Well,
I think if you're doing the redraft, Sauce Gardner should be number one to the Jaguars right now.
Let's
Pretty
see
wild.
If this front office, if it's Nick Caserio's even here 2 weeks from now.
If Trayvon Walker doesn't have a big year too, that's going to be one of the, to me anyway, in the years we've been doing this, weirder first overall picks ever. So I didn't feel like anybody was ever like over the moon about him through the whole process. It was just like, yeah, he's got a lot of upside, a lot of toolsy. He could be a big time player. And then you had these other guys that were very clearly ready to roll, and Detroit and the Jets and mm-hmm. I guess Stingley. You know, we'll see about him. But
well, no, as Daniel Jeremiah's explained it, he says he doesn't think any other team, like the top 20 would have taken Walker first. That it was just the Jaguars.
Isn't that weird?
Like, yes.
What is that? Yeah. Very strange. Very strange. All right. Anyway, let's go. I will go with. All right. So I don't think. Well, let me start with something that I don't know who is responsible for these things. But
wait, did you take me up on that?
Sorry. Yes, I do.
Okay.
That's important for Nick Fortier to know.
It's essential for Nick. I don't know how it works, although I'd love to know the mechanics behind it all. I'm guessing some type of front office figure sends an email to the social media department and instructs them to send out a tweet with this message. Can I get some inspirational, powerful backing music here? This from the Houston Texans, sent at exactly 6 a.m. Today. So time-stamped for the start of draft week. Failure is not an option. It's a necessity. Imagine if that was it.
Wait, failure is a necessity?
Yes.
Okay.
Every misstep is a lesson learned. Every setback, a chance to grow stronger. Embrace the struggle and become unstoppable. Well, who sent it out? Who was behind this? Caserio?
I thought they got rid of the guy that would have sent something like that out. I thought that felt very Jack Easterby.
And it was
got
tagged also, with just the word forward, period. Anyway, so.
I mean, the font, too, was very Cam Newton-like. I do not think Nick Caserio is asking for this.
I don't think so.
The font was, like, ripped from, like, Taylor Swift's, like, Reputation era. I'm not sure what's going on here. But anyway, I'm going to try to piece it together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a team that's looking to make a big statement this week. Mm. And I obviously they are. Everybody's looking to make a big statement. But the Texans especially, the last 2 years have been lost years for the organization, dating back from really the day that Deshaun Watson said, I want out. And then everything that followed and two head coaches, one and done. And just no sense that the organization's making any forward progress. This is the year where it's supposed to start over in a real tangible way. And that's why I don't think the Texans have the guts to pass on a QB at 2 overall. And there's so much smoke now saying they're looking to get out of the pick or they're not a big fan of C.J. Stroud. So I'm not saying that they're going to take C.J. Stroud because I do put something more into this fact that maybe he's a round one dropper. And we'll see if that works out or works against teams that pass on C.J. Stroud. But I think they stay at 2, and I think they take a quarterback.
Okay. So both of those things have to happen. They can't trade back up to 3 and take a quarterback.
I mean, I don't want to muck it up. That would that would suck if they trade back one spot and take a QB, but
I'll live with it. Stay at 2 and go take quarterback.
Stay at 2, nice and simple. I could put in a bunch of caveats there, compendiums, if you will, Justin, but I will not. I'll just say they stay home and take the QB and they start over.
I'll take you on it. It pairs well with Greg's. I mean, I feel like if they really wanted to make a big move and trade out of that place, then you completely deny and don't allow anything to get out there that suggests you might go other than quarterback and have a quarterback bump down the board. I don't kind of love what's coming out of Texas if that's what's happening with the Texans. But I do feel though that D'Amico Ryans is a big part of this. I think Nick Caserio, who opened his press conference last week weirdly saying like, I'm not leaving after this draft, which was no one asked the question. It was just sort of said point blank. Okay, it's like there's clearly something going on here where I think D'Amico Ryans is running the show. And I think he's going to want to pick the guy that start his defense with, but I'll still take you.
Do you think D'Amico, he's got that linebacker blood. Do you think maybe D'Amico is responsible for that quote?
Oh, it feels very coach speak, doesn't it? Or athlete coach speak.
Right.
I feel like that's a social employee who's
like
popular.
Like a 20-year-old intern.
Social media guy just went nuts with that on their own and sent it out? That's
that
wild.
That's wild.
I mean, if failure is a necessity, I mean, the Texans, you've covered
They've
it.
Nailed that.
Like,
yeah.
you did it a few years ago.
Home run.
You got that first verse down.
Right, that was fine. if every misstep is a lesson learned, like, you have learned the most amount of lessons. Let's win a ball game. That's a good one, because I kind of agree with you, and yet I just feel like I can't not take it out of principle, so I'm just going to take it.
Really solid stanza overall, I thought.
You got me.
It's a good one.
All right. Mark Sessler.
All right.
Mark Sessler picking a spot today.
Okay. This may be why I don't fare well in this contest, but this is something that I believe very strongly will happen by the start of the season, but I'm just going to say it happens during the draft, that by the time we get to the end of the draft, Mac Jones is no longer a New England Patriot. And I think that all along, this could be a world where we keep trying to stick Tom Brady with the Raiders, that I think that if you are Josh McDaniels and you worked really well with Mac Jones and you see real potential there, that a Mac Jones, Jimmy G scenario might work. All I'm saying, though, that's a potential landing spot, is that Mac Jones will not be a Patriot by the final pick of the draft, by Whoa. The end of the final pick of the draft.
You know, me and Mark are just sharing.
Yeah.
Sharon.
Well, the thing
possibilities.
About this,
that was one of my possibilities.
We laughed this down during the season. We laughed it off. It's like all this stuff that's happening is not enough to get rid of him. I think that that what we've heard since the end of the regular season with New England and how that went, and you hear Robert Kraft's words and what Mac Jones has had to say, and Bill Belichick really cooling on Mac Jones from where he was an offseason ago when he talked about how much he grew, and this little Bailey Zappi thing mixed in with the fact that I think they want to draft someone else and start over and give Bill Belichick another chance to get young at quarterback and one last effort here. I think Mac Jones, something doesn't seem right with these two.
I'll take you on it. I think I don't like that Bailey Zappi keeps coming up in this as if he's a major factor in this.
I think it's used more to think that he's a starter. I think it's used more like when he's talked about Bailey Zappi, even during the season, it was like he does everything he's asked. It's like it sounded like a Bill Belichick type of guy, almost in a way to say like, Mac Jones isn't giving me this experience.
Well, it was Tom Curran, who we trust with Patriot stuff, who did verify or second that report that Belichick was pissed that Mac Jones went outside the organization during the season to try to get tips how to fix the offense that Matt Patricia was in part running. I believe that. I believe that Belichick was angry. That he would do that, and that I think Belichick, it's not Belichick's style for his quarterback to be, and I think this is part of who Mac Jones is personality-wise, to be very adamant and vocal in showing that he was unhappy during games last season. I think that's a bad look for a player when you're in Belichick's building. That said, the owner is continuously speaking positively of Mac Jones still. And I think right now where the team sits, it's the owner who has the upper hand. The owner always has the upper hand, let's face it. But especially now, I think there's a little of a power struggle there. And I think Mac Jones getting moved is a Bill Belichick win if this would happen. And I don't think Bill Belichick's winning anything internally this offseason.
What if Caserio?
So I'll take you on it.
All right, but what if Caserio, who knows Belichick so well, like what if there's a world where this is atypical draft stuff for New England, but they're just going for it. They're going to get up into that top three or four and get a different quarterback. Then Mac Jones is old news in New England, and you move him for whatever you can get.
Well, Houston would be as likely a place to put him as any. I can't find the team that's going to go for him, though, and that would be a tough sell, I think, for the Texans and their fans that, like, no,
but
we didn't.
But you came up with this as your own
draft. We didn't draft,
too.
Yeah.
So you must have someone in mind that they would.
I don't know who. I think it's like less than 50-50, so I'll take you up on it. But I was just going to throw it out because it's a fun one. I just don't know who that team is. Maybe it's the Ravens. Like, that doesn't really make sense to me. I think they're pretty in on this is one more year with Lamar Jackson. So you just kind of go through the list and you don't see like a logical landing spot for Mac Jones. But I'll
Greg
take you
Mark
up on
Alliance
it.
Takes on a little water though. But you going
he
against him?
But
here.
He literally came up with
that
one
was going to be one of mine. Maybe I had right. I had some options. I'm just going to take you up on it because it just seems like that's
sort
the
of
way
like a
go.
Tepid high five. Then
yeah, that's
like that.
Yeah, that's
which is weird in itself, kind of clammy.
I like that.
Ooh.
that's not what I wanted to hear.
All right, you got another one, Greg?
All right, I'm going to go say all four of the top quarterbacks, I'm not including Hendon Hooker here, just to be as clear as possible, go in the top 10. So after all this talk, someone's going to fall, blah, blah, blah. No, none of it happens. This is very rare that four quarterbacks go that high. In general, we think quarterbacks are going to go like a little higher than they end up doing, hence like Mac Jones slipped to 15. A lot of times that third or fourth guy falls a little further than you expect. It happened with Justin Fields too. But I say it doesn't happen this time. There's too many options in the top 10, or I think you could even trade to about 10. And so I say all four quarterbacks go in the top 10. It'll be decided nice and early on our live stream that everyone needs to watch on YouTube.
Maybe we can get a former NFL quarterback in our – we're going to be not in this room but in a different area of NFL media for our live stream, our round one live stream, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, all 31 picks of the first round. We will be just hanging around, chopping it up, dudes being bros with some special surprises along the way.
But you're suggesting maybe we would snag an ex NFL quarterback to come
perhaps
talk with us.
Especially if four QBs enter our league in 10 picks to start things off. Like, how could you say it's a boring draft if that's happening? I mean, you know. Anyway, so you're saying Young, obviously, Stroud, Richardson, and
Will Levis.
And Levis all go in the top 10.
Top 10.
I'll take you. I think it's very possible, though, because I think Tennessee would be a real candidate to move up. But, yeah, I'll take you.
Let's do some breaking news. This is not your average, everyday breaking news. Let's hear it, Justin Graver.
I'll take you on that, Nick Fortier.
Ooh. Ian Rappaport says it's happened. It's over. Aaron Rodgers is going to the New York Jets.
What?
The Jets.
What?
Get Rodgers, pick number 15, and a fifth-round pick. So they're only moving down two picks in the first round. The Packers get number 13. They move up two picks. They get a 2023 this year, second-round pick. That's number 42, a sixth-round pick, and a conditional second next year that becomes a first if Rodgers plays 65% of the plays, which is pretty darn likely to happen.
Yeah.
So the Packers get their two firsts for Aaron Rodgers. It's happened.
Dan?
Thank God. I mean, thank God. This is...
This happened. This is your birthday present. It was your birthday yesterday.
It was. It was my birthday yesterday, and this was something that has been dragging out for, God, well over a month at this point, ever since the... Pat McAfee episode. Let's just go through this again. So it's the deal includes a second rounder this year. So the Jets had back-to-back second round picks. I believe it's 41 and 42.
Packers get the second one.
And I think Packers are picking 45 also. So now the Packers pick 42 and 45. The Jets keep their first round pick, but they swap it.
Yeah, they swapped it, so they're going to move back two spots, which is something no one really brought up. Now it seems obvious that that's like one little extra thing the Packers got.
It's a bit of an upset that they can get another first next year based off the – it seemed like this was heading towards like who would ever give the Packers that at this point for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, they still have their first-round pick this year.
Yes.
They just moved back two spots.
Right,
yes.
And they can get the first-rounder if Rodgers hits that playing time bump in 24, which –
Well, if he doesn't, that's a disaster.
It depends on what happens this year, obviously. I mean, everything is kind of built, to me, up to this being now a team that can make a run with Rodgers at QB, which is, I'm on record, obviously.
He'd have to get hurt. It's the 65% of plays this season. So
this year.
As long as he's healthy.
That's a disaster if he doesn't.
And I guess,
Okay. I thought it was next year. Okay, now it makes sense. Okay.
But wouldn't you say that like the idea that it could trigger a first next year from the Jets is more than what people had been verbalizing in recent weeks, because it sounded like Joe Douglas is not going to – that's what they were budging on. They're not going to give that up.
It's a little more than I expected the Jets to have to give up. I just thought the conditions would have been less likely. I thought it was going to be like if he retires, you don't get the first.
Right.
If he's on the team into 2024, then it's a first. But that's – Sort of splitting hairs. I think it's a great deal for Green Bay, ultimately, that you get a second and a first. You get the two spots is nice. I think that's really good because for them, I just feel like it really was time. I know it's a downgrade to go from Rodgers to Jordan Love, but I think all things considered, they have to be happy with how they're kind of extricating themselves from this. It really wasn't that messy, and they get a very fair return for him.
Yeah, and if I had like my choice in this, I would want that to be a higher bar to clear than 65% of the snaps. But at the same time, he's a Jet, and now they go into this season, one of the more important seasons in the history of the organization, and they're going to have Rodgers, who I think, based on his track record, the fact that, yes, he's entering his age 39 season, but for all the things I've talked about before, I think he's going to be very good this year. I think this team is obviously going to be vastly improved if he stays healthy on offense. And then I trust Saleh in the defense, even if they're not as good as last year, to be a strong defense. And you put it all together, I think they are now firmly in the mix now in the AFC.
Woo, what a moment.
I'm so excited that the worst case scenario, which was this dragging through the summer, this becoming a situation where maybe another team does sneak into the negotiations and all of a sudden the Jets are running out Zach Wilson in training camp. All that stuff is out the window now, and you just can look forward at a bright horizon in terms of hope in the Meadowlands. I'm really excited about this.
I almost hope that they are giving up a first next year because it tells you things went right. And there is a variance here because what version of Aaron Rodgers do you get? I trust that you're going to get a good one. And their offense is pretty much set to go. And there were these other worlds, parallel universes, where New York failed to get Rodgers, and you are stuck with one of the worst chapters in Jets history.
Yeah, they didn't have a backup plan.
Right.
They would have had egg all over their face.
That's kind of what I love about Joe Douglas, though, because he has to be a huge reason why this happened, because when you want to do something in life, you cut all their options out. You just go for it, and they made it happen. And the Jets fan base has never been in this situation if you are a certain age. If you're your age.
The Photoshops of Rodgers in a Jets uniform, it just looks wild to me.
I feel like I've seen so many now over the last 6 weeks that I'm already used to it, as weird as that seems. The next question, does Joe Namath give up his number 12? These are all fun kind of team things. And I have to say it. I mean, if we're going to now say it's 65% of snaps, okay, so what's that like if he stays healthy?
Basically, if he plays 12 or 13 games.
If it's week 12 and they're a huge bust and it's a terrible season, would I put it past the organization to put him on the bench?
Yeah. Check you later.
I mean, if he doesn't play well.
Yeah, but in that scenario, everyone's fired.
Okay. I'm just saying I'm just saying what this.
I just
I'm
mean the people
just
making
the
decisions. Like only Woody Johnson could make that decision, and it would have to be because it went so spectacularly wrong.
But I'm not saying this on behalf of anyone else in the building as like a Jet fan, like saying like how does this? What are the different outcomes of this? Would they potentially, if things really were off the rails, go down that way to save the first round pick? Now
they'd have to be 3-7.
That's just the fatalist.
But then they're getting fired anyways. So it's
that's
like
what I mean.
The owner makes the call.
What I mean is like Woody Johnson is firing everyone and insisting on that, and for them to be that bad would be hard to imagine. They'd have to be 3-7.
I just have to say it. And listen, Greggy, like I'm a fatalist at times as a Jets fan, as all Jets fans are. You have to say, okay, what's the worst case scenario here? There it is. And then they would still have some recourse if they didn't want to give up a first round pick. That said, by the way, if they were 3-7, that's a high first round pick potentially.
Yeah.
Going, and then, you know, there's all sorts of things, but I'm not even talking
forget
about
all that energy.
Well, that is just stuff that needed to be brought up for a second. And, but I'm very happy. I wish I could talk to my dad. My dad is in Budapest right now on a
look at him
on a trip with, Deb and, my uncle and, my aunt. I don't know when he's going to get this news. It's not like my 69-year-old father is, all over social media. I don't know when he'll find out. He might not find out for days and days.
Oh, he'll find out.
I don't know.
You can't text him. He's not, there's no.
Should I WhatsApp him?
Yeah.
I have your dad commenting on it on Aaron Rodgers right now if you want to listen
Let's
to
hear
it.
It.
Sure.
Live and exclusive.
My feeling with Aaron Rodgers is that, you know, when things are going good, you know, he's Mr. Good Guy. But when things are not going so good, he is certainly not the same guy that you see on the sidelines that's frowning at people and looking looking the other way.
He's a man that lays blame on others.
That's right. And also the way he handled the coach last year, not listening to the play calls.
Mike McCarthy.
And Mike McCarthy and treating him terribly shows me that I just don't think he's the kind of man that, you know, that everyone talks about.
How long did you guys have that one in the chamber?
I randomly was looking for something completely different this morning. It was as if it was in the stars. I was looking for him saying that Matt LaFleur, or Mike LaFleur, I lose the LaFleur.
The bearded boy?
Was the bearded little boy. Yeah. So I went back to that episode and listened on the way in, and that wasn't in the show. But that little clip was, and I said, let's clip that for whenever the news
nice
happens.
Nice work, Greg.
Let's also wish Dan a happy birthday. We got this done during the show. This was the present that we got for Dan Hansis that we've been worried this news is going to happen
98 degrees
all off season and here he is.
This is very nice, and yeah, my dad is not a Aaron Rodgers fan, never has been, so I am curious what his thoughts are, but you know
what is
you know
song?
What you know what Keith's not a fan of? Zach Wilson.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Like all Jets fans. So
I think if you're Keith or you're anyone who was a little bit miffed with the Aaron Rodgers experience, you got to just like, it's part of the wait. That's fine. And happy birthday, Dan.
How was your birthday? You do anything fun? Spend it with the fam?
Sure. Spend it with the fam.
Everything. It'd be weird if you didn't spend it with
the
fam.
Well, of course. Yeah, I just meant like what did? Yeah, yeah.
Watching sports. You know, a baseball practice was in the mix.
Your Knicks are giving you presents.
Got the Knicks giving me a gift.
Do you feel tangibly older?
I guess I mean, no, I wouldn't say I feel tangibly older right now. In fact, I feel a little younger right now.
Yeah.
Right now
Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Jets. That's a big relief. I didn't want to even take this into the draft. So.
That's huge.
And, you know, and we'll see if it works out. And I know there's a lot of speculation and, oh, this will blow up in their face. I hear it. It's certainly possible. But back off. Just let Jets fans enjoy this moment, and hopefully for the Jets fan base, this guy can still play the guitar. Because if he can, look out.
You had to look make out. A move that was to try to take advantage of the roster they have right now, because you don't know how long it's going to stay together. And to that point, didn't trade Corey Davis. Was kind of thought he was going to be in this trade. We'll see. Maybe he's not on the roster. But this puts sort of a window on them with Rodgers of like – I mean, this puts a window with Rodgers, obviously, for the next couple of years. But giving away this sort of draft, these sort of draft assets, you know, it just makes it more about right now. And to the Packers' point, like, Goody's handled this all well, but like, now is the hard part. If you want to be Ted Thompson, you got to hit these picks. They didn't do anything in free agency this year, and it puts a lot of pressure that they got to start hitting with these picks. So they have pick 13, they have an extra second, and they'll have the pick next year. But like, he needs to start nailing this, or else he's going to be the guy that traded away Aaron Rodgers and didn't make it happen.
I wonder if what the domino effect is in the AFC East, as you know, does this cause the Patriots to be think to them, although we all kind of expected this to be the outcome and now officially appears to be the case, do they feel good about going into a season playing in a division that has Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen in it?
I mean, I've just told you they're going to make a massive move at quarterback. I have a sandwich prop.
Well, potentially Tom Brady in it.
That ties into this.
You'll always have your chant.
I did not know this was going to happen, obviously, but I think that the Packers will draft a combination of at least, after all they did to Aaron Rodgers with the draft and no free agency, of at least four wide receivers and tight ends to make Jordan Love, to set him up for success. Four. I mean, this doesn't happen that often, by the way. And they have a couple wide receivers they like that are young. But tight end, I could see it. And I think you go with a combination of four of them so that you can tell everyone we're going to do right by Jordan Love versus leaving him out at sea.
Four is a lot. You know, the Packers used to do that with Ted Thompson. So that would be another callback where they would take two or three at the same position,
sure,
especially receiver, in the same draft. Four is a lot. I'll have to take you on that.
Yeah, I'll take you on that. For sure.
They do have four.
That just seems like a lot. Three, I would be on the fence. Four feels like.
They have 4 7th round picks. They have 2 5ths. And so it counts if he's
taking. Oh, how many picks do they have overall? That's interesting too.
Three, four, five, 10, I think.
So it doesn't matter like where it is in the draft.
If well, take, like, I'll phase myself out of winning it if I do. No, I'm comfortable staying right there. I mean, I think that's like that's a big investment because you already have a couple of young wide receivers.
12, they have 12 picks. That's a lot of picks. You would think they're going to take some tries.
I'm not going to take you on it.
I think the over-under probably would be about 3, so it's a little over that. So I'm going to take it.
I will pass on this one, actually.
Cool.
Just because there's so many picks. Like, you're going to take guys that, like, late in the draft that are special teams type guys that are wide receivers.
Especially their team who don't have any wide receivers. I think they'll take a tight – I won't do this because it's too similar, but I would put a sandwich on one of their first 3 picks. It's too boring. Would be a tight end. Like, I just almost, I just feel like in this
class, feels like a home run.
That's a home run.
I'm more saying that it's diametrically opposed to what they just did to Aaron Rodgers 3 years in a row.
And well, but if they didn't take one in the first round, it would be similar.
Well, what I'm saying is what's tricky about this prop, I think, Mark, is that it's kind of like.
What if I make it 5?
Well, no, I'm saying like if you.
Take the 5.
No, I'm just saying if you're saying this is going to be kind of a statement draft from them, if it was like they're taking it in the first 3 rounds,
sure.
2 to 3 players, I just feel like – but if you're going to say 5, I'll take you.
No, I'm not playing this. You're perfectly welcome to not take it. I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said it, though. You said 5.
I was going through a verbal machination with myself, but I have no interest in just sweetening the pot.
If you said their first pick was receiver or tight end, which I actually think it will be.
What about 2 of the first 3 picks?
I think it will be a tight end. I don't think anyone's taking that either.
How about 2 of the first 4?
No, I'm not revising it.
Okay, then I won't take it.
On any level. So.
Because the spirit of it is that they're going to be aggressive.
That is the spirit of it. Yes, I think that's the spirit of it.
But you could lose the wager in the back end of the draft when it's not really about building up weapons.
Don't care.
Got it. All right. This one real quick, because I don't care about anything else right now. The Titans, we mentioned it. I believe between now and in the next fortnight, 2 weeks, Tannehill and Henry will both be moved in trades.
Both.
Triggering the full-on rebuild that makes too much sense in my mind, and it's been speculated on endlessly. I think there's obviously they're holding the cards close to the vest. But I just think that's, you know, teams also are trying to figure out their draft boards. And if, say, one of these teams that really wants a running back, they don't get it, they're going to call up the Titans and be like, all right, what can we give you one of these day 2 picks for Derrick Henry? And then a team that loses out on the QB roulette here.
So that's why you're making it 2 weeks.
Yeah, but I'm kind of just because I want to make sure it's basically capturing the spirit of it, which is teams – come out of the draft not maybe getting what they want, or they want to be able to have a fuller look at where their roster's at. But I think both of them will be gone. I think probably by Saturday it could happen in the prediction, but that's I don't want to hold myself to that. That's a little tight.
How about next Tuesday? Because aren't you going to be annoyed we're going to go over the draft props in this one?
All right, so for that reason, I will modify it. How about one of the two will be moved before Saturday night?
Okay. I'll take you on that.
I will, too. I think they're open to either. There was the false report that Derrick Henry was going to the Eagles. That didn't pan out. But, I mean, he just fits as a – if you're a Super Bowl window team, and I keep thinking of Buffalo, it's like, what is the price that's too high to go get Derrick Henry? You're not going to have to give a first. Mm. Why not add him to your roster? And but if you go get a running back in the draft, Derrick Henry becomes a non-starter.
I don't quite see it. I think Tannehill's a little more likely, or is more likely. I think Dalvin Cook – is a guy that could get traded. I think the Judy stuff could still happen. Buda Baker, maybe. You mentioned Mac Jones. Trey Lance seems unlikely. I can't imagine Derrick Henry, but that's me personally.
Anybody else have one?
I do have a trade one, and this, I guess, would be my onion.
What about our onion hangers now, right?
Just because it's so specific. So I'm just going to say the draft ends with DeAndre Hopkins in Buffalo as the next member of the Buffalo Bills. Let's just get specific, which is always trouble.
I like that.
I'm having trouble focusing right now. I'm reading a lot of the
I mean, it is ridiculous. It's one of the biggest trades in the history of the NFL. He's a – how many times has he won? 4 times?
Yeah.
Maybe 4 times. He just got traded.
To the Jets.
Hmm.
I'm struggling right now at this point, boys, I got to say.
That's fine. We could just curtail this. But, Greg, for the sake of the exercise, I'll take you. It does leave, even if you have a post-June 1 designation, the Cardinals are stuck with $20 million in dead money per over the cap. And if it's pre-June 1, I mean, it's $31 million. So it's not like, I don't know what the Cardinals get out of this unless they love the pick.
Maybe they could restructure the contract.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to.
Yeah, you're hitting me with facts. And this does seem like an anticlimax a little bit after Aaron Rodgers was just traded. You're right, Dan.
I apologize. I'm being upfront with you about this.
It's okay.
Tell us how you're feeling, though. I mean,
I kind of said how I feel about it. That it's like they gave up that first round pick. I wish they would have been able to push back a little further on that. But I think part of that is like everybody was like it was leverage gate between the Jets and Packers and who had the leverage. I think ultimately the Jets were the more. They were the ones on the defense because they didn't have a plan B, and I think they also wanted to have a clean slate. I don't know. I would like to see Aaron Rodgers, for instance, at voluntary camp, which he hasn't been doing with the Packers for years, and I won't hold my breath for the same reasons. My dad's not a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers, but like I want to see him all in and get that vibe. I want him at camp. I want people flying to Malibu to work out with him. If I'm a Jet fan now, I want to see him have that eye of the tiger and show want to stick it to the Packers a little bit and have a big year for a franchise that hasn't had a quarterback in far too long. So they're going to give up that first-round pick next year. I can deal with that moving back a little bit in the first round this year. I think they're still going to get one of those offensive linemen, which is a lock, by the way. I'll do a related one. My last one is that they will take an offensive lineman. I was thinking that maybe they would go and try to trade up and get Skoronski there. But they don't now they're dealing with a little bit of a deficit with some of the draft capital. So that would be my second one that they'll take.
At 15, I think you can get a good tackle.
I had them taking Skoronski at 13. Now my mock draft's all screwed up because they're moving to 15. I got to redo this whole thing. It's going to be great.
They're going to get Broderick Jones out of Georgia now. That's my onion hanger.
You're going the exact guy.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'll take exact guy. I think they're definitely going lineman. I will say I totally agree with you about the Aaron Rodgers off like season workout stuff because for someone that preaches self-awareness at an endless levels and heights – it would be self-aware to, with the New York media, get off on a good foot and also just with your own teammates because I think that affected the Packers last year.
How about Aaron Rodgers versus pretty tough Bills defense? You got Bill Belichick. You got a Dolphins defense. It's pretty good. Adding Jalen Ramsey. It's a challenge. That division is going to have so many primetime games this year, and the Jets will be in a lot of them. Stop delaying the schedule release. We want it out on the normal weekend. We know where Rodgers is.
Well, weren't they waiting for this?
Well, I've heard whispers.
That the league was putting a little pressure on the deal to get done?
What if you suddenly put Zach, if you do the schedule first and you have Zach Wilson in five primetime games, that's a problematic
Certainly no
scenario.
no whispers on that. But if there was, if Lamar and Aaron Rodgers was still uncertain that they didn't really want to start sending that schedule out until they knew where the best primetime games. But I think you got to assume Lamar's in Baltimore at this point.
All right, we need one more. An onion hanger from Mark Sessler.
All right, this has happened before. I'm really looking at two options that I have here, though. Okay, you know how the we have an absolute waterfall of absurdity on day two and the especially long day three where like they had like a zoo animal announcing like the Colts pick the one time?
Yes.
This, and I have no information on this, but I think because we're at this point in our world where and this is tech-based, not maybe the place where Tom Brady spoke, but a non-human / non-animal will make a day two or day three pick for one team. And I'm thinking like like a holographic image of like Vince Lombardi does it for the Packers or something, but something they've never done before where like a true non-sentient being announces the pick, maybe even live in Kansas City, if not at some sort of other local scenario.
A non-human, non-animal. So
they've already done zoo animals.
The whole thing with the chimp making the pick.
That's already happened.
Can't do that.
No.
I guess I got to take you on that.
I don't think it's that crazy if you think about it.
Did you say a non, like simian? Is that what it was?
Non-human.
It has to be AI.
It can't be any,
it
be any like real computer. Human. Or but I'm thinking like a holographic image of someone
like an Al
from,
Davis.
Yeah,
is doing
exactly.
The draft
like
pick.
Al Davis, rolls up in a holographic
controversial.
Image.
Dan's deep into like Jets.
I have
Twitter
a lot of
right
texts
now.
Going on. There's a lot of texts I'm replying to. Yes, I will take you on that.
Okay.
Just because I think there would be some pushback about putting a dead man on stage or whatever.
It may not NFL's be. Like, I'm not saying it's definitely an NFL figure. It could be something.
George Washington, if you will.
Sure. If someone went, that would be an odd road. But like the Commanders could do that, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of Commanders.
Yeah.
In the Pentagon.
I think we need to end this. I think we need to let Dan go be free in society.
Just like frolic out. He's just got to dance around SoFi.
What does the next 3 hours look like for you? What's going to happen to Dan?
Well, you know, I just turned 43. There are limits to this. You know, like when Brett Favre was traded, and that would be the natural connection, another team that was all in after that happened. I happened to be in a bar in Austin, Texas, when the trade went down late at night, hook 'em horns, and got hammered and was super excited. Now I have responsibilities. I got to pick up the kids from school.
Yeah.
See, I just imagine
gotta
you
work.
Like
Daddy's got stuff to do.
Like
I gotta
Tammy
grill
Taylor,
tonight.
You know, Tammy Taylor in the beginning of Friday Night Lights is going like this all through the field.
Will be a little bit of that. I think there's going to be a Tito's tonight.
Once the kids, you just get the kids home safe, and then you can.
I'm a little bit. It's bittersweet that I won't be able to confer with Keith on this until he returns from Budapest and other territories in Europe. But
the cell phone. He didn't do the thing where you just you put the cell phone on while you're gone. No.
No.
Okay.
No. My dad? No.
You're right. Yeah. I mean,
he keeps a pretty tight ship with the tech. You know.
It's an international sport. She's going to hear about it somewhere. I think he's going to hear about it.
All right. So there you go. Interesting. And those are the props. Good ones. Check out Nick Fortier at gogetmylunch.org. Oh, wait a second. Before we say goodbye, it is also a tradition. Before our producer gets too upset, I'm sorry. It's just a lot of stuff's going on right now.
Yeah.
We always have the producer offer up a prop of their own before we say goodbye. Justin Graver.
Yeah.
Your draft prop.
I thought I was off the hook there for a sec, but okay. So
you don't have to do it, but
I'll throw one out there. Yeah. Why not? My draft prop is the top 7 picks go off in the current order as they stand. No draft day trades in the top 7.
I love it. I'll take you, and I love it. I think it's a great one.
The old Gettleman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take you on that. Usually, somebody's going to make a move.
Somebody. Wait, why is that the old Gettleman? He didn't like trades?
Oh, Dave Gettleman hated trading.
Oh, that's right.
Too complex.
He traded.
He sat there at 6 and took Daniel Jones.
Which, he famously.
In hindsight, he got Daniel Jones, his quarterback, and Dexter Lawrence. Reasonable pick.
But not a GM app guy.
He never did it once.
Right.
Like, famously. He never traded back.
I guess I'll take you on that, but this is not the onion hanger it sounds like it is, because I think if you went and looked over the last X amount of years.
At least 3,
At least going into draft day, because obviously there's already been
the
one
pre-draft
trade,
ones,
but during the draft, I would say as many, if not more, drafts don't have a trade that high.
Right. There's
during
just
the
so
actual
much
draft.
Like reporting about Arizona taking calls.
Well, that's
sure.
A good point.
Yeah,
that's
Arizona.
A good point. Wait, if the draft if the trade happens between now and Thursday, though, you lose your prop. Right? If the Cardinals traded on
gone.
Wednesday,
yeah,
you're
no,
done,
any
right?
Any trade action. It's
he
not
gone.
That it stays put as of Thursday at 5 p.m. Western time.
Agreed. If
okay.
any trade
okay.
happens
I'm just
between
clarifying.
Now and then.
You gone.
That would be fun to be the first producer to lose his prop before the draft even starts.
Right. The producers famously are not good at this. Right. So you're trying to, change history, if you will. And you have nothing to do with past failures in that chair.
Right.
So I think that's the way you're looking at it, right?
Well, just the way I'm looking at reset. It is, as your guys' producer, my job is to make you all look great. So if that means getting my draft prop wrong, then I'm all for it.
Except that's not what you're – that's
right.
not
it's
your
gonna
actual
take,
attitude.
It's going to take more than
any other project.
And you're trying to kneecap one of our co-hosts here.
On a daily basis.
In a big spot. I think we're going to drop that one overnight on Wednesday, right? The big mock draft spectacular.
Oh, what a showdown it is. All right. That's it. Wow. Okay. We will be back on, Wednesday with the huge mock draft. And then Thursday, it all begins. My goodness.
Live stream.
Post-draft podcast. Leave the call.
Jays.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.